Our lesson text this morning comes from Mark chapter 12. If you'd like to be turning there in your Bibles, Mark chapter 12, we're going to be reading beginning at verse 28, going through verse 34. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, he asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as himself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. This incident takes place on Tuesday before the Lord's death on Friday. We also find this occasion recorded in Matthew's account of the gospel, and Matthew actually gives us a little bit of a better understanding of the situation when he introduces this man who comes to Jesus with this question. Matthew says, "And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him." That's from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 35. Though this man came to Jesus with a question that had behind it an ulterior motive, though he was one who had apparently been sent on this mission by the Pharisees, those who had been debating and arguing with Jesus, this man comes at what appears to be just the right time to step in, as perhaps there's a pause or there's a little bit of a lull in this debate going on between Jesus and the Pharisees, and this man appears to have been set up for this purpose. And so he comes to Jesus with this question. Even though he had an ulterior motive, even though he was on a mission, he leaves with a great compliment from the Lord himself. "You are not far from the kingdom of God." You're not far from the kingdom of God. Our study this morning concerns that statement. That statement must mean that scribe, you got to understand, remember now, Jesus had the ability to look within a man's heart and to perceive everything that was on his mind, to see the motives behind what he was asking, to see the unsaid things, to see the more complete picture than this man reveals with just this question. Remember what Jesus saw as he looked at the rich young ruler? The Lord looked upon him and he loved him. And he said, "You still lack something." Jesus could see in that man's heart, and I suggest to you that here Jesus can see into the heart of this scribe, this lawyer. And Jesus could see that this man was close. He was close to the point of being a disciple. And yet he went away. One conservative New Testament commentator says of this man, "Alas, this is the epitaph for many." He goes on to say, if this scribe had confessed the Lord, he would have been thrown out of the synagogue, perhaps even stoned to death. And the silence of the record, in other words, the lack of anything further in the account, leads one to suppose that this is as near as this man came to the kingdom of God. He was near. He was just outside the fringe. You might say he was in the borderland of the kingdom. Seemingly, he was very much like King Agrippa, who is described in Acts chapter 26 and verse 28 as saying, "Almost I'm persuaded to be a Christian." Friends, what was true of this man is true of so many people today. In the borderland, so near, so very close, and yet still on the outside. This morning, I'd like for us to think about the matter of the borderland of the kingdom. What are the lessons of the borderland of the kingdom? Let's consider, first of all, this. Let's consider the reality of the borderland. Does it really exist? Is there really such thing as this concept of the borderland of the kingdom? I believe it is real. In fact, from several references of Scripture, I believe we can safely conclude that there definitely is a borderland, an area where people are close to the kingdom, and yet not in. In fact, the Bible speaks of degrees of moral and spiritual distance from the kingdom. Not far, Jesus said. You are not far from the kingdom. That implies degrees. There is far. Actually, we could start and say there is not far, there is far, there is farther, and there is perhaps farthest. We use those terms all of the time in our discussions and in our language. We're very familiar with the concept of being not far. How long before you'll be here? Oh, I'm not far. That means I'm close. Well, you were farther away than I thought you were. We know exactly what that means. We understand that full well. Sin separates one from God, according to what Isaiah says in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And it makes sense that the more one sins, the farther he removes himself from God. The more one sins, the more difficult it will be to make his way back to God, as sin becomes more and more important and it necessarily becomes more and more powerful in one's life. It takes one farther and farther away. This man was obviously somewhat closer to God and his kingdom than many of the others in the crowd that he was running with. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5, Jeremiah makes reference to the ancient Jews going far from God. In Matthew chapter 13 or chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus describes the people of His day and their hearts as being far from Me. Now what does that say to you? What does that mean? Does that mean they're just right around the corner? Does that mean they're just right on the verge of giving themselves wholly to My will and to My... No, no. This people and their hearts are far from Me. They're not on the short list of those who are just about to obey the Lord's words. You know, even some of our songs express that same concept. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. How about this one? Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? To be sure, this borderland is a reality. And these borderland residents, I want to be clear here, these borderland residents are actually better off than those who are far away from the kingdom. One who is near doesn't have as far a journey to go in order to get in. One who is near, stay with me here, don't turn me off. One who is near is already a better influence to those around him. He's already a moral example. He's already a more community-minded person. We'd all prefer to have a neighbor who is a non-Christian, but he's a good moral man, rather than having a neighbor who's a drunkard or a thief. And so in that sense, one who's near to the kingdom, one who's in the borderland, is better off than those around him. And in fact, I believe God recognizes the difference. A difference in those who are near and those who are far off. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus relates to His disciples that parable about the faithful and wise manager of a household. And it was in that parable that Jesus addressed that very difficult matter of degrees and different stripes in reward and punishment. And while we may not understand all that has been said on that subject in Scripture, Jesus clearly states there that some will be beaten with fewer stripes than others. I don't really know all about that. There's a big question in my mind as to exactly what all of that means. But obviously, an accountable child with one sin is not as far away from God as a reprobate who seems to be incapable of having a single good thought. Both have sinned. But it would appear that God recognizes a distinction between them. What all follows up from that distinction, I don't think I'm qualified to say. But there are definitely many in Scripture who were described as being not far from the kingdom. We've already looked at the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, where Jesus said, "You still lack one thing." In other words, Jesus was saying, "You've really done well. You're close. But you're missing something." In that reading at the beginning of service that Nicholas read to us from John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43, it's really a very surprising comment on those scribes in Jesus' day, those who were inclined to follow Jesus, but they stopped short of confessing Him because they love the praise of men. Too much to turn loose of it is really what that scripture is saying. They were close. They were on the verge, so to speak. But they weren't there. And as we've already noted, King Agrippa was almost persuaded to be a Christian. You remember what Paul told him? Oh, King, if only you were not just almost, but altogether. But let's move our attention on to the real meaning of this borderline business. What do we mean when we say that this man was in the borderland? What does that involve exactly? First of all, it means, as we have already noted, this man was different from those around him. In this way, you could say he was better than they were. When you read Matthew's account of the story, as we've already seen, he seems to indicate that this man was put up to this job of questioning Jesus by the Pharisees, and it almost seems that this man, especially in the end, didn't share the Pharisees' zeal for blood in this case of trying to entrap the Lord. He seems to have had a good knowledge of God's Word. All of the scribes who were copyists of the law should have known very well what the law said, but it's clear that this man knows unquestionably what God's will is. He seems to have a discerning mind. He seems to have in his possession a keen insight into the meaning of God's Word. He could distinguish between the first things and the second things, between real love for God and just empty ceremony, which had become the custom of that day in many cases. Furthermore, this man was willing to confess the truth. He was willing to acknowledge that Jesus was right in what he was saying. That was something that was far from the Pharisees and those who were making such an effort to condemn Jesus. But we've also got to acknowledge that even as close as he was still on the outside. He was near the kingdom. He was not far from the kingdom. He was in the borderland, but he wasn't near enough. He wasn't near enough. He was still on the outside. You know, there are a lot of folks who are in the borderland of the kingdom today. They have good habits. They have a fine disposition. You couldn't ask for a more friendly, cordial person in all of the world. They live lives of respectability. They have good reputations. People recognize them as good, solid, moral people, sometimes even leaders in the community. They often have a good knowledge of the Scriptures. They sometimes even have a better knowledge of the Scriptures than members of the Lord's church do. They give assent to the truth of the Bible, and they can even be heard to argue on behalf of defending the basic truths of morality, righteousness. And it's often the case that they have good intentions of one day becoming a Christian. They have good intentions of one day getting back. They are good, but they are not good enough. Because goodness alone will not put one in the kingdom. They are close, but not close enough. Frequently, those who are in the borderland of the kingdom are separated from the kingdom by just one or two little things. Maybe it's an attachment to family traditions. Maybe it's the refusal to turn loose of a personal opinion that differs from God's Word. Maybe it's the failure to turn loose of their upbringing. Maybe even the love of some particular thing in their lives, whether it's money, maybe even alcohol, or some worldly thing. Whatever it is, if it's keeping them from giving their whole heart to God, if it's just one thing that keeps them from giving their whole heart to God, they're still outside the kingdom. They're in the borderland. They are only in the borderland. And thus, we need to note the tragedy of the borderland of the kingdom. In life, it is difficult many times to convince the borderland resident. He or she is usually quite satisfied with their nearness to the kingdom. They take great comfort in being really close to the kingdom. In fact, sometimes they may be heard to say something like this: "You know, I'm really better than many of those in the kingdom." Or, "Everybody knows there's more good in me than bad." That may very well be true. But the fact is, if he or she is not in, they are out. If they are not forgiven, they are guilty. If they are not saved, they are lost. You see, there is no middle ground. There is no fence straddling, as we say. That's just not possible in regards to salvation. Jesus said himself in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." In life, it can be a challenge to convince a borderland resident, to come on in. In death, the tragedy is sealed, unchangeable. Those not far from the kingdom cannot die in the Lord. In Revelation 14, verse 13, the Lord said, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." In fact, the story of Moses near the end of his life illustrates perfectly the plight of those who are in the borderland of the kingdom. It's recorded over there in Numbers chapter 20 when God told Moses that he did not treat the Lord as holy in the eyes of the children of Israel. He had instructed Moses, you remember, to speak to the rock there at Meribah, but Moses instead struck it. And for that transgression, God told Moses that he would not be the leader of God's people when they crossed over into the land of Canaan. And in Deuteronomy chapter 34, beginning at verse 1, we find these very sad words recorded. "Now Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, and the Negev and the plain and the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the Lord's servant, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Moses reached the borderland of Canaan, but he died right there. He wasn't able to go in. And so when I hear someone say, well, you know, I've lived a good life. Maybe I haven't obeyed the Lord in everything that he told me to do, but I've been basically a good person. Surely he'll let me go in. I always think back to what happened to Moses. And the Lord said, you can't go in. In judgment, the finality is clear. The tragedy of the borderland is illustrated very clearly. You see, in judgment, there will only be two classes of people there. The right and the left. The sheep and the goats. Come. Depart. Heaven and hell. And it's clear from what Scripture says, the resident of the borderland will be lost. Perhaps missing heaven by only a fraction, and yet missing it altogether. You, in fact, may be one of those lodging in the borderland of the kingdom. So close, but yet still on the outside. Very much in touch, but not in the body. Our invitation song says, only a step. It's only a step from the borderland to the kingdom. It's the step of obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism. If you need to do that this morning, don't wait. If you're already in the kingdom, but you've strayed, you've been unfaithful to the Lord, and you need to be restored, there's never going to come a better time than right now. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.